WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a man. What the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got 2 words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
This is my brutality!
In your dreams, I eat sleep, bleed.
She's back. This is the Raw Post Show.
Presents Let the good times roll.
I'll do this in a second.
Teresa Babe just subscribed for 31 months. I got hit with canned ham the other day. Yes, I got spammed.
Thanks for 31 months. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films. YouTube.com/MBG1211. Chat. Give that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gang. Hit the purple rectangular button below the screen or the regular way like Jersey Babe just did. Or you can use credit card Rockstock or Lindsay Ward at a $4.99 shop with hashtag Epic Partners. Mommy is back on Raw. New alliances have been formed. And someone owed someone an apology. And a glare. We'll talk about the glare as well. I'm the producer. That's Lindsay Ward.
Oh, there were some shenanigans on this show. And the Judgment Day just maybe kind of needs to run to the store and get flowers and chocolates or whatever else Rhea Ripley likes, because Dominic's not gonna be the only one in trouble.
No,
I'm gonna say those boys, they're in for a world of hurt, man. They're in for a world of hurt because mommy's back.
So after Finn, JD, and Carlito beat Braun Strowman, Archer, and The Miz, there was a little backstage situation in the clubhouse where Dom was playing 2K with Liv, and they should work on their double team moves. And Liv wants this so badly. You know, Dom wants it as badly as she does, and he just wants to beat up his deadbeat dad. And they just need to loosen up. So she shoved him down on the couch and just stretched his leg out and worked a hamstring a little bit.
Is that what they calling it these days?
And then Damian walked in, and then the rest of the Judgment Day popped their heads in. Carlito showed up, and Liv quickly left. Priest had one and no idea what it was or how hard it was. And then Priest said, Dom should have done this a long time ago, and it's not that hard to take care of it. And Carlito was like, it looks pretty hard to me, pointing at the crotch. And Dom said, Priest sounded like his dad. He's starting to understand Dom's dad every week. He said he thought he'd put an end to it and he would do it now. And that's what kind of sort of happened. He was trying to make it seem like it was happening, and then, they were getting ready for their tag match, and everything was cool. It was Liv and Dom versus Rey and Zelina. There was an interesting moment where he went crotch first into Liv, but after Dom finally beat Rey Mysterio for the first time in his career, Liv jumped on Dom, and they celebrated, and she pulled him down, and was pulling him ever so closer for a kiss, and then Rhea Ripley's music hit. The oh shit look on Liv Morgan's face. She bailed. Dom's like, fuck. And Rhea's like, mommy's back. Look me in my eyes. Mommy's back. And that's how Monday Night Raw ended.
You see, there was a smart person in this scenario, and there was a stupid person in this scenario. See,
yes.
Rhea showed up, and Liv ran for the hills. You never seen that girl run so fast. She booked it out of there because she knew. She knew, especially when Rhea walked out and had that face of fury, and then she started picking up steam. It's like, oh, girl, you're going to die. So Liv booked it out of there, and Rhea kind of ran her off. And then Rhea gets in the ring with Dom, just gets up in his face. And Dom's like, I'm innocent. I'm innocent. I swear, I'm innocent. I didn't do a thing. We all know he did. He's been caught in 4K like every week for the past, every 2 months.
So, and he was about to give in. He was moments away. And
I love this.
Rhea showed us back up.
The drama. The freaking drama. Oh my god, I love it. I love it so much.
If that isn't a teaser cliffhanger for next week's Raw, I don't know what is.
I wanted to see him get whooped and we didn't get it.
We will.
Like they like cut her off like right as Rhea got up in his face. It's like, no. I don't want to see whatever this crap is on afterwards. Like just go back. Just go back. I want to see her beat him up.
Yeah, we'll get to the Yeet Man here in a bit.
we'll talk about that.
But yeah, Rhea Ripley back on Monday Night Raw. Good way to end the show. Gets people talking. The entire show got people talking. One of the things people are sort of talking about was how Damage Control was looking to take back control. Io Sky, Kairi, Sana, Dakota Kai, beat Lyra, Valkyria, and the KCs. But the bigger story after they got their win, well, they got attacked by this new trio of Sonya Deville, Shayna Baszler, and Zoe Stark. And it was very coincidental that Shayna went after Dakota in the beatdown.
Yeah. You know, you go for your girlfriend. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like this was, we've been kind of like expecting this to happen, as it were. So it's not a complete surprise, but it was cool because now we have another faction. We have another stable, a female stable.
We do,
and they're raring and ready to go.
This was a message to the locker room who runs the division. No one can lace their boots, and Stone is trying to make Zoe and Shayna the killers that they can be. And that was just a warning shot. And Alba and Isla saw what happened. Well, you know, they're kind of running the division as long as they have the tag team titles. So looks like we could be seeing a situation there between those four women as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm here for it. Give me more women's wrestling. Give it to me.
Indeed. Karrion Kross sent a message to Xavier Woods in the New Day. And, you know, and we learned that Kofi's going to be out a minute or two. Out for a while. And Woods tweeted out something with the effects that it's 5 versus 1. He's got to get some help. So that should be interesting to see.
By the way, can we talk about Karrion Kross on Twitter? And the fact that he's out here snitching on Kofi to Adam Pearce? Sir, we are not in second grade.
Trying
chill.
To snitch. Yeah. We had an interview with Sheamus talking to Jackie Rimmer. He's done pretty much everything in 15 years. And, you know,
except when the IC title.
We all know that's eventually going to come, maybe. Bronson Reed showed up, said they shouldn't be celebrating his anniversary when he lost. Reed said he was the one with the match and called himself the future. Sheamus said Reed has been watching his career for the last 15 years, that he knows what happens when you interrupt him. Reed said he would fight Sheamus, but not tonight, because he's fighting with his old mate, Peter Dune. So we had Peter Dune and Bronson Reed in a solid matchup, with Bronson Reed getting the win. Reed was looking to take out Peter Dune again. Sheamus made the save, and then Sheamus tried to celebrate with Peter Dune, and Peter Dune was like, maybe not.
Because Tyler Bate is out hurt.
Tyler Bate is out hurt, and Peter Dune does not forgive Sheamus for walking out on the Brawling Brutes.
No, he's a little mad.
Mm-hmm. He still has a little mad about that. So it was mentioned in chat, so let's talk about it. It was Jey Uso and Chad Gable 1-on-1. Jey Uso got the win over Chad Gable when the lights went out for a distraction. As they did, after Jey got the win, he 1-2-3, yeet, I'm out. He ran out. Chad bailed, selling the whole thing. Nikki Cross shows up, gives another tape to the announce table. We'll talk about that in a second. Another VHS tape. this was the first time Pat got to see it, because Pat's been gone for a couple weeks, and Pat got to see it all. And then we later at night saw the video tape. It was an interesting one this week. It was more focused on Bo than, you know, shades of him being alcoholic, but you saw a little glimpse of them. But we more got images of the other men and women in the group. We saw the faces of Joe Gacy and Eric Rowan. He mentioned We Are Sick. He talked about the abandonments. We're learning to see there's going to be probably multiple sides of these characters along the way, which is interesting. And we'll recap this whole thing, and then we'll talk about it. Then Chad Gable was talking to Adam Pearce, and, you know, he knows the Wyatts are talking about him, and why wasn't Pearce doing anything? I've hired extra security, and what else do you want? Maybe you need to think about, you know, why they're coming after you. So Gable said, I probably need a vacation soon. Then Pearce opened up the door to his office. Sitting there was Bo Dallas, who glared at him, and then smiled.
He's like, ha!
So what was your take?
Bo's got the glare. He's got the fucking glare. Like, holy crap. You can tell that he has been studying his brother, that he's emulating his brother. He has the mannerisms down. He has the facial expressions down. Like, this was the most Bray, or most of Bray, that we have seen Bo do. But he's putting his own spin on it. And I really like it. I really like what he's doing. Like, Bo's got some chops, man. We knew that based on what he's been putting out, but this was really, really good. It's also important to note that 11 years ago to the day is the night that the Wyatt family debuted on the main roster in WWE.
Yep.
So it's fitting that Bo Dallas shows up in Adam Pearce's office tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about the family tonight. And we got to see glimpses of Rowan, and we got to see glimpses of, I think, some of the others. But I remember seeing Rowan.
Joe Gacy.
I don't know if they showed Nikki Cross or Dexter or not, but they did show those two for sure.
They showed Nikki, but not as Nikki, as just whatever she is now. And they showed Dexter's Mercy, right?
Yeah.
They never revealed him either yet. But yeah. We're going to.
But I really like how they did this. You kind of almost have to have alternate personalities for them, just because you can't have them walking around in the masks and the getup the whole time. Like, the fact that that's sort of what's laying underneath, and you know that's what's laying underneath, but they look normal, because that was sort of like the appeal and the allure of the Wyatt family was, outside of Rowan, who wore the sheep mask, you know, they just walked around in street clothes and looked normal.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that the rest of the group, you know, when they're up to shenanigans, that they perhaps wear the masks and the costumes and whatnot. But when they're just, you know, lurking, they're just them. But I really enjoyed this. I thought they did a great job. I have no complaints about this whatsoever. Other than my only thing is, and they kind of fixed it later with Chad and Bo being in the office, is that at some point, you do have to have them begin to do more. Like, you had that really great introduction, and then you've been doing the wonderful follow-ups with the videos. But at some point, you do have to start to integrate them more into the product. And I think that's what's going to start happening now. Is you're going to have Bo start to show up more. You know, obviously, Nikki's been dropping off the tapes, but then you have the others kind of sort of begin to do stuff as well. Where they're just kind of lurking, and they're doing it right, because it's like, it feels like this constant threat of, you don't know where they are. You kind of know who they're going to show up for. Like, we know whenever we see Chad Gable now, it's like, all right, there's going to be some Wyatt 6 BS that's going on. But like, we didn't get it on Money in the Bank, but we got it tonight. But we just don't know how they're going to show up, where they're going to show up, but we know kind of when. But there's still that lurking overall threat that I really, really, really like. And just the whole presentation is still very well done, very well executed. And goddamn, Bo was fantastic. Like, God.
It's a nice slow build of teasing things every single week.
I mean, he has blonde tips. A boy has blonde tips. What the hell? Bo, what did you do to your hair? And then we have to talk about Jey Uso, who was in the ring with Chad Gable when all this started. He got out of there. He was like, nope, 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 not doing it. Nope, don't want it. Nope, 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 nope. I think he hid this time, too.
No, he ran. That one, he ran.
That one he ran. Okay, yeah, he just noped that. He was just out of there.
Yeah.
And last I liked week, because the shit...
Last week he hid. This week he noped out.
Okay. And I liked afterwards, like, when Nikki dropped the tape off, was the Sheamus interview. And you had Sheamus and Kathy kind of, like, reacting to it, where they're like, oh, hell.
That happened.
I'm like, oh, God, it got weird again. God damn it. So I like how they're doing all of this, like the whole presentation, like the fact that you're just having people like react to the Wyatts and kind of be afraid of them. That's what you needed to do, because that's really not, that wasn't what happened the first time. Like when the family sort of debuted, you didn't really have anybody selling the fact that they were this terrifying thing.
Yeah.
They were just there. So the fact that they're already presenting them as a threat, and you have people like Jey Uso, who's just like, I don't want any part of this shit. And he just runs. And you have other people who are like, okay, this is not good. This is bad. Whatever this is, like the whole sell of it is wonderful. God bless them for it.
Indeed. Intercontinental champion Sami Zayn was out. He said he's no longer an underdog. He's a champion. He said he earned a certain level of respect that Bron Breakker didn't bring to their match at Money in the Bank. Zayn says it's one thing to knock him down, but it's another thing to keep him down. Bron Breakker came out. Zayn asked Breakker why he was there and whether he was looking for a fight or a rematch. Zayn asked Breakker if he came out to say anything or if he would just keep staring at him all night. Breakker said he came out to look Sami Zayn in the eye with nothing that he, with, while noting that he was the only man in the locker room who has beat him. Breakker said there's no reason for him to get a rematch, and then he speared Sami Zayn. Start working him over, throw him to the outside. He was going to go, he fought back a little, but Sami got taken out again. Speared him again at ringside, and then Ilya Dragunov came out to make the save. Ilya was with Sami in the trainer's room, and he wants Bron Breakker in a match tonight, which he got. He got beaten. Ilya won via DQ when Bron Breakker threw a chair in his face. Sami made the save, but it was Bron Breakker who stood tall in the end. Good stuff. She's on mute, so she's not responding to me. So, anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry. What I said was they need to change either Ilya or Kaiser's hair. I don't care who, but they look the same from the back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when Ilya was checking on Sami after Bron kind of worked him over, I was like, why is Kaiser checking on Sami? That's weird. And then like they panned around and I was like, oh, it's Ilya. Like, because from the back they both look the same.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, what did you send?
Just keep talking.
Just keep talking. Okay. But like, yeah, it was, and the match was good. Like, the match was really good. It was the appropriate response for Bron in terms of what happened at Money in the Bank. And just, it was overall well done. And I very much enjoyed it.
Indeed. So there's video, which is what I sent to Lindsay on the internet. It's Liv just peeking through the curtain and then comes out with a smile.
So is she beating his ass?
Who knows? But anyway, Monday Night Raw opened up with CM Punk. He said he had a lot to get off his chest, but he said he wanted to start by acknowledging someone who shared the ring with. Punk then talked about, you know, John Cena. He was as the New York Yankees and congratulated him on his retirement. He said that's not what his future holds, but he would like to list him up with Cena one more time before Cena's goes. Cena was not here, and now it's time to talk about Drew McIntyre. He said he was tempted to look under the ring for McIntyre, but he got himself suspended. We saw what happened at Money in the Bank. Punk said, unfortunately, the ratings took a dip because McIntyre was on television. Punk said he's been trying to teach McIntyre the lesson that there are consequences for his actions. Punk said McIntyre should not be surprised that he picked a fight with him, and he fought back. Punk talked about McIntyre will never be the champion again as long as he has air in his lungs. Promise fulfilled, CM Punk said. He also noted that he wants to get his hands on McIntyre and can't do it if Drew is suspended. He was fined $25,000 for his actions and called it money well spent. Punk said Keyboard Warrior McIntyre was fined $50. Punk asked Jack Tunney or Adam Pearce to lift the suspension of Drew McIntyre and then called for Adam Pearce. He got Seth Rollins and said, Punk sat on the commentary, talked to them for a minute. Seth Rollins talked, so you let me get this straight. Now you want to sit on the sidelines? Rollins said he knows Punk loves the spotlight. Encouraged to get back in the ring. Or was Punk afraid he was going to kick his ass? Punk recalled warning Rollins that the last time they spoke, he wanted to warn Rollins that it was the only time he would let him speak disrespectfully to him. Punk warned Rollins to watch what he said. Rollins then said he wouldn't dare speak disrespectfully of the best in the world. Rollins then asked Punk why saying actions have consequences applies to everyone, but everyone in Punk's life. But Punk, Rollins questioned why Punk stuck his nose in his business after he warned him not to. Punk's like, your business? He said he was handling his own business. Punk assured Rollins he would be more interested in given that he has a wife and a daughter. Punk then brought up McIntyre wearing the bracelet with Punk's wife and dog's name on it. Punk said if he somehow screwed up Rollins being world champion, whatever your little pipe dream is, Punk said he was trying to apologize legitimately. Took him a minute, but he said, I'm sorry, I apologize. I didn't mean to screw anything up for you. I'm a little snowblind with rage right now. I have a singular focus, and I understand you do too, and I'm sorry. But because it's Rollins, he couldn't be that sorry.
I mean, he's trying to be sympathetic, but, you know,
Rollins, like, you
just can't.
He can't. Rollins is like, you always have an answer. You called it, you know, sort of called it gaslighting. Rollins called Punk the king of propaganda and said he is the dumbest smart guy he's ever met in his life. Rollins said Punk has to figure out that the world does not revolve around him. Rollins said Punk can be selfish bastard and burn bridges anywhere else. Rollins said he let it slide because he's above Punk. Rollins said he's willing to let Punk's selfishness be slide until he cost him the world title. Rollins said becoming the world championship isn't a pipe dream. He said Punk took it from him. Now he will take it from Punk. Rollins said he could take a cheap shot at Punk, but he knows his fragile little body isn't 100%. Rollins said Punk wouldn't even be able to say McIntyre's name once he's clear before Rollins snaps his arm and puts him back on the shelf. Actions have consequences.
This was all very good. This was a very, very good setup for everything.
Damian Priest, who went after, we talked about it, was in the Judgment Day locker room, he saw Seth Rollins. Rollins said he appreciated that Priest kept his word by not having the other Judgment Day members interfere. Rollins said he would keep his word by not going after the title while Priest halted. Rollins said that as good as Priest was on Saturday, he will need to be better at SummerSlam. Priest stopped Rollins from leaving and said he kept his word and knew Rollins would keep his. Priest said he still has a lot to prove. He said that he could throw the gentleman's agreement out the window. Priest said that once he's finished with Gunther, he would go to war with Rollins, and all Rollins had to do was name the place. Rollins offered Priest a handshake, which Priest accepted. So looks like we're going to go off. We're going to do something between those men at some point again. And then there was the situation with CM Punk talking to Adam Pearce. Pearce said he would call Drew McIntyre, set up a meeting for next week, but Punk has to stay at home. Pearce said he knows McIntyre likes to pick fights, and Punk isn't one to back down. Pearce said if it happens again, the match with McIntyre and title aspirations are out the window. Pearce is like, go home, pet Larry, get healthy, and we'll handle it next week, where Drew McIntyre returns to Monday Night Raw.
This was a nice resolution to what happened on Sunday, or excuse me, Saturday.
Yeah.
This was a really nice resolution, because I think a lot of people, including those of us on this call, were like, well, what are they going to do about the stip, the gentleman's agreement, where it's, you know, basically if Damian retains or Damian wins, then, you know, Seth is out, but if Seth wins, then Damian has to leave the Judgment Day, right? Like, that was the whole overarching thing in this match. But there were so many shenanigans in the match, right? Like, Drew showing up, Punk showing up, and it just completely kiboshed anything. And, like, in the end, Damian wins, right? But it's like, can they really expect Seth or Damian to honor the agreement when there were so many extenuating circumstances? So I like the fact that they resolved it this way. That it's like, we're going to go one more time. And this time, nobody gets involved. All things pending, of course. But I like how they did this. This was a good way to address it. This was a good way to resolve it. And, like, just clear that whole cloudy picture up. Because it's like, well, because it's like you're sitting there and you're like, well, Seth can't reasonably honor the agreement. Neither can Damian. Like, just because it's like Punk screwed Drew and Drew was trying to screw them both. Like, how does that work?
So we had a nice video package with Damian Priest. He challenged Gunther to show up next week. And then we got a history video package on the history of Gunther. Both were good.
I liked how they did this. Like, they're really stepping up their production in terms of the video packages and, like, introducing people. You can tell that they're setting Gunther up to be up on his own. They're kind of moving him away a little bit from Imperium, which is fine. It's a nice soft way to break him and Kaiser up without having to do the whole dramatic breakup thing. Especially that way, if you need to,
especially with Kaiser being out right now.
So it's like, it's a good way to sort of do that. And then you can always have them come back together. You can always have them split properly whenever you need to. But it's just overall a really, really, really good way to do all of this. So I applaud them for this very much.
So with that, one more reminder, Rhea Ripley is back.
Oh my God.
Should make things interesting next week on Monday Night Raw. But that's our show.
That is our show.
Which means Thursday we get to talk Money in the Bank.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news. We'll have notes. We'll be reviewing Money in the Bank. And we'll be letting you know what we thought of the show. So tune in. It's Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Friday night, GM Battles return, 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, WTR Game Night, 10 p.m. Eastern, followed by CB Radio Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday night, it's WTR Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network. Chat, if you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming Support Chat, by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use credit card Rocket Sock or
Lin's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWRD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me over on YouTube, youtube.com/@LinsWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lin's Ward Zero.
This has been the Raw Potion, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday for the back. Right back here, along the airwaves. The Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.